This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. Rachel Myrick is a busy college student. The UNC Chapel Hill senior has a double major in political science and global studies, with a minor in creative writing thrown in. She's also the student body vice president and has been on the dean's list every semester. And those activities by themselves would set her apart from her classmates, but wait, there's more. She's also designed and taught a seminar course at Carolina, made Phi Beta Kappa, and done original research. And then there's the TED conference that she organized, and volunteering for a domestic abuse shelter in Belize, and then there's working for an international development firm in Cambodia. And then, just after Thanksgiving, she learned that she had won the prestigious Rhodes Scholarship. Rachel Myrick was able to take a few minutes out from a very busy schedule between exams to join us. Rachel, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with that moment you found out that you won the Rhodes Scholarship. They announce your name in front of all the other candidates and interviewers, am I right? What's that like?
It was kind of an agonizing wait time. So we waited for about 3 hours, and then the whole committee came down. And at that point, there's about 15 finalists in the room, and only two of us get it. And so I kept repeating in my head, you know, kind of my own instructions to myself, were I not to receive the scholarship, because that's kind of what's the most likely outcome. And so I kept saying to myself, okay, thank the interviewers and congratulate the winner. Thank the interviewers and congratulate the winner. And then when it was my name, I didn't even know what to do.
Hadn't prepared for that, huh? You had... You hadn't prepared an acceptance speech. That's a little twist on recent news. And what is that? I mean, I have to ask you what it's like, because there are, you know, then 13 other people in that room who are not ready to jump for joy, but have been instructing themselves in what to do.
Right. Well, it's you know, it's a really strange kind of situation that they put you in, but they do handle it very well. Obviously, the committee and the particular district that I was in, many of the interviewers had been doing this for 5, 10, 15 years. So they kind of prepare everyone and talk sort of about how the process works and things like that. So obviously, it's a big letdown. But at the same time, you know, the scholarship is so prestigious and seems so unattainable, I think, to all of us in the room. That just to be there is a really cool honor and an opportunity.
Pretty rigorous process. Tell us about it. What goes into it for you?
Sure. So basically what happens is you have to decide a couple months in advance if you're interested in applying, because you prepare a personal statement, and then there's a school interview process. So UNC, my college, selected a couple students they were going to nominate. And then we prepare a full application that includes 8 recommendations as well as an institutional recommendation. Then that all gets sorted out to our respective districts. And I'm in North Carolina, Maryland, and D.C. districts. And then we go up for a final interview if we're invited. And it's a kind of a 2-day interview process, one informal talk and then one final official interview. And then the committee decides. So it was sort of a roller coaster, but, you know, I was lucky enough to have a really fortunate outcome.
And on those recommendations, you asked your 5th grade teacher to write one of them for you. Why?
Because, you know, she's one of the people who's sort of known me all life long, and I thought it might be a different perspective and maybe a recommendation that might set me apart from the very large pot of applications they receive. And so she was sort of, I think, has been a lifelong mentor and inspiration, and really the first teacher to expose me to learning how to understand and love to learn. And so I think that, you know, my kind of knowledge and my passion for eventually going into academia can be traced all the way back to her. So I thought she was excited to be a part of the process, and it was really fun to have her involved.
Well, one of those passions is an interest in global affairs that you say developed for you, or perhaps you felt most deeply when you went on a trip in high school with a nonprofit group. Where did you go and what did you do?
Sure. So I went with the Echo Foundation, which is a local nonprofit organization in Charlotte, and they took a group of high school students to Rwanda. And that, to me, we were learning a lot about some of the public health disparities in Rwanda, working with some various nonprofit organizations over there. But what really struck me was sort of how that society had reconstructed after the genocide. So that's kind of what got me interested in post-conflict reconstruction. And then eventually when I went on to college, I started studying that topic more in depth, and that's what I ultimately hope to pursue at Oxford.
Well, it's interesting that you would go to a place like Rwanda, and it sounds to me like come out with a sense of hope that these conflicts can be resolved. If humans start them, then humans can somehow figure a way out, huh?
Right, and I think Rwanda is really an interesting case study in that respect in particular, because, I mean, I was there about 15 years after the genocide had occurred, and now it's a very safe place to go. It's really economically thriving, and it's essentially an ethnic blind society. I think it's something that's really interesting to look at. And obviously, you know, conflict reconstruction that totally varies around the world. And I thought Rwanda was a particularly unique instance of a society that had really in many ways reconciled in such a short time period. And I think that was what got me interested in studying that topic more in depth.
You came to Caroline on a Moorhead Scholarship, and part of that award comes with a summer enrichment activity, in fact, a variety of them, but one of those was for you working at a domestic violence shelter in Belize. Describe that experience and what impact it had on you.
Right. So that experience was kind of totally unexpected and was really a wonderful summer opportunity for me. That particular summer in the Moorhead King Scholarship Program is geared towards some direct public service. And so I ended up on sort of a small town on the border between Belize and Guatemala, and we worked at this domestic violence shelter and actually ended up designing a summer program for some of the students there. And to me, I think that was another instance of, you know, not only having a cool experience in terms of cultural immersion, but also being able to teach and interact with students. And I think that's, again, sort of fostered an interest for me in kind of long-term being in a very academic environment.
What's it like? You know, you talk about problems, conflict resolution, domestic violence, all of those things we experience right here in this country. And I just wonder, especially for a young person, how being in another place might add to that experience and give you an insight into, you know, things that you read in the paper, obviously, all the time. Is there anything about being in another country, just the possibility of being able to travel, that can bring new insight and engender in you a kind of a real passion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's some of my traveling experiences. I know I've been so lucky to have them, and I do think they're some of the most formative things in shaping kind of what I want to study and what I ultimately want to do in a career. And I think being able to sort of step outside an American-centric approach to conflict resolution and to be able to actually go and experience some of these different cultures, some of these different places that have been affected by kind of grander scale tragedies has been really left a profound impact on me. So I studied abroad in London my sophomore year of high school, sophomore year of college rather, and that got me interested kind of in eventually ultimately doing graduate education abroad, and that's kind of where I learned about Oxford and started getting interested in the scholarship. And I think there's going to be a real added benefit to taking the next few years to research from kind of a truly international perspective, go to a really global university in the United Kingdom. I think that's going to really help me long term.
What kind of a program are you going to be involved in at Oxford?
So right now I'm currently finishing up my application, and it's to MPhil in International Relations. It's kind of the equivalent of a master's degree. And then a lot of students choose to go on and apply to a doctorate program over there as well. I know I would like a doctorate long term, and I'm not quite sure whether I'll stay in England or come back to the United States. So I think that'll be really contingent on my first 2 years there. So it'll be a 2-year program in international relations. I'm specifically interested in sort of the state reconstruction topic that's offered at Oxford.
You know, we mentioned your double majors, your undergrad majors of political science and global studies, and then this minor in creative writing. Do you see them related, or is the creative writing part just the fun part of it for you? What is there a relationship?
Yeah, you know, I actually feel like they're very related, especially for, you know, obviously I'm interested in international conflict, and I think that narratives really, you know, personal narratives, especially in profound short fiction and really good journalistic essays really kind of illuminate some of these conflicts. And so actually, you know, you mentioned in the opening that I did design a course last year that sort of brought together those two disparate interests for me. And it was about genocide reconciliation through the narrative. Basically, how do narratives kind of have a cathartic impact on the writer and also have a much broader public impact on kind of an international audience? helping draw attention to some of these conflicts. So I think they actually fit together quite nicely. But in addition to that, I love to write, and I think it's a nice pastime. And so I've enjoyed a lot of the programs offered here. The creative writing department at UNC is exceptionally strong, so I've gotten a lot of great feedback.
So part of what you're doing at Carolina these days is chairing the Student Advisory Committee to Chancellor Holden Thorpe. You meet monthly with the chancellor and talk about issues interesting to the students. What kind of issues have you brought up?
So a lot of what we focused on this year is about some student concerns and interests. I think one of our primary focuses is some students are really interested in creating a dance minor at UNC. So a lot of what we do is look at some academic policy things that we can get implemented. In addition to that, we have some students on the committee who are really strongly advocating for an increased use of online education at UNC, especially when kind of MOOCs and flipping the classroom are such salient topics these days. And so we're sort of starting a dialogue with the chancellor about how that's going to look in the future. And then kind of on a routine monthly basis, we bring a number of different questions from the student body directly to the chancellor to address a variety of smaller issues as well.
Rachel, pleasure to talk with you. And once again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Rachel Myrick, a senior at UNC Chapel Hill and the school's latest winner of the Rhodes Scholarship. She begins graduate studies at Oxford next fall. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.